This series by UBS is presented by Automated Voices and may include adaptive narration.
Hi, I'm Anna from the UBS Chief Investment Office. It's Monday, the 20th of July, and the time is 6:30 a.m. in New York. Equities were broadly lower. The S&P 500 fell 1%, and the Nasdaq lost 1.5% as of the latest U.S. close. In Europe, the Stoxx Europe 600 slipped 30 basis points, while Switzerland's SMI rose 0.5%. In Asia, the Nikkei 225 dropped 4%, and the Shanghai Composite fell 3%. In foreign exchange, 1 euro buys 1.14 US dollars, up 10 basis points on the day, and 1 US dollar buys 0.81 Swiss francs, down 10 basis points. The US 10-year Treasury yield is 4.54%, up 1 basis point. Brent crude rose 1.3% to $89 a barrel, and gold edged down 20 basis points to $4,003 an ounce. And that's all for the market update. Now let's take a more detailed look at the latest developments.
Thanks, Anna. Brent crude briefly moved above $90 a barrel after the weekend strikes. So what set off the latest market tension?
Hi, Daniel. Well, over the weekend, the U.S. and Iran engaged in a series of tit-for-tat strikes, and U.S. Central Command announced its 9th consecutive night of strikes on Sunday. That helped push Brent crude briefly above $90 a barrel on Monday, for the first time in more than 5 weeks.
And how is that feeding through to broader risk sentiment?
The latest developments in the Middle East are weighing on risk sentiment that was already weakened by the sell-off in chipmakers over the past week. The new AI model released by China's Moonshot, which delivers performance that rivals some top-tier models, has also added to investor anxiety over the durability of CapEx growth.
And given that backdrop, do you still see support for global equities?
Great question. And while market volatility may pick up as investors assess the ongoing risks, we do see a constructive macro and earnings backdrop that should continue to support global equities in the coming months.
Okay, so taking a step back, how are you thinking about the Middle East risks from here?
Yeah, the situation in the Middle East is fluid and the risks of further hostilities are elevated. Strikes on vessels transiting through the Strait of Hormuz have resulted in a substantial drop in flows through the waterway, and a re-tightening oil market remains a risk to the equity rally. That said, U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio reiterated that the U.S. remains open to a diplomatic solution, and Iran said it has received some proposals from mediators on the war. We think both sides are incentivized to avoid a return to full-out war, as a prolonged closure of the waterway would be a drag on the U.S. economy and deprive Iran of a key source of income. While shipping confidence and oil production may take longer than expected to be fully restored, we expect limited pass-through to core inflation, which should keep central banks from tightening aggressively. That means AI infrastructure investment and earnings growth should remain key drivers of the equity market.
Okay, and following on from that, what's your read on AI demand after the Moonshot release?
Without commenting on individual securities, we believe Moonshot's Kimi K3 model does not necessarily have a negative read-through for AI infrastructure, because its costs are comparable to those of frontier models. More broadly, the release, together with many other recent new models with competitive capabilities, underscores the question of whether frontier models can sustainably capture the economic value of growing AI demand. This means that while we continue to expect strong growth in AI demand, uncertainty over CapEx growth beyond 2027 may keep investors on edge. Results from TSMC and ASML made clear that demand for AI infrastructure remains strong, but we think investors should ensure a more balanced exposure to tech as the AI growth story continues to evolve.
And beyond semis, what are earnings telling you?
Well, the second quarter earnings season has also got off to a strong start, with results so far marked by solid earnings beats and guidance. While only about 1/10 of the S&P 500 companies have reported, nearly 90% of them have beaten earnings per share estimates, with the median beat rate coming in at an impressive 8.8%. Both figures are much better than historical averages. More specifically, banks posted strong loan growth and fee income, while others reported resilient consumer demand and spending. We forecast 28% earnings per share growth for the S&P 500 for the three-month period, contributing to a profit increase of 20% for the whole of 2026.
So what's the bottom line for investors?
We see room for global stocks to move higher amid strong profit growth. At the same time, the wide gaps between individual stock performance and ongoing risks related to geopolitics and inflation mean that investors should ensure diversified exposure. This means considering more defensive areas of the tech sector, as well as other global markets that offer appealing opportunities, including Europe and Asia.
Great, thanks, Anna. Now let's turn to what else caught our attention today. Andy Burnham becomes the UK's 7th Prime Minister in a decade on Monday after securing the support of an overwhelming majority of his party's lawmakers. His past comments raise concerns over fiscal discipline, but he has since sought to reassure investors by committing to Labour's manifesto and the current fiscal rules. Investors now look to the appointment of his cabinet team, particularly his choice of Chancellor, for further reassurance. Our view is that, setting politics aside, we continue to see selective opportunities in UK assets. Fiscal restraint should limit both additional gilt supply and the need for tighter monetary policy, supporting opportunities in short to medium duration quality bonds. Sterling should also remain well supported, particularly against the Swiss franc, given its attractive relative yield. We also think the UK equity market should stay relatively insulated from domestic policy change, as close to 80% of FTSE 100 companies' revenues are generated outside the country. Looking ahead to the 21st of July, markets will also watch the UK May unemployment rate and Germany's ZEOU Economic Sentiment Index for July. And that's it for today, and we look forward to bringing you the latest House View update tomorrow.
This material has been prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management business of UBS Switzerland AG, regulated by FINMA in Switzerland, its subsidiaries or affiliates, collectively referred to as UBS. The investment views have been prepared in accordance with legal requirements designed to promote the independence of investment research. This material is for your information only and is not intended as an offer or a solicitation of an offer to buy or sell any investment or other specific product. The analysis contained herein does not constitute a personal investment recommendation or take into account the particular investment objectives, investment strategies, financial situation, and needs of any specific recipient. This material may not be reproduced or copies circulated without prior authority of UBS. Please visit www.ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer to read the full legal disclaimer applicable to this material.